podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is, I think, episode 50 by my count, perhaps. It's season 2, episode 5, also up for debates. Just one debate. Anyway, my name is Colleen, and welcome to the show.
Yay, my name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
We're a half century year old.
Wow. That feels very distinguished.
We are very distinguished. We were falsely accused by the Ramblecast of only having 41 episodes during our one-year anniversary, which then became, what was the trash talking, I believe? It was, there are 52 weeks in a year, and we only managed to record for 41 of them, which was incorrect, because we actually had 47 episodes. We had 46 recorded, but we did have 41 and a half, which made it 47. So anyway, also, I just want to add that we don't need rotating co-hosts because we had a full cast for all 46, yep, maybe 47 of our episodes.
Yeah. Well, bam. Yeah.
45, 46.
We were only recording half of the year because we didn't start until June.
No. A full 52 weeks.
Oh, like a full calendar year.
Yeah. Well, not calendar
not a
year.
Calendar year, but
yeah, the broadcast.
Fiscal year.
Yeah, our no, the broadcast circle around the sun.
Yeah, our little universe.
But I'm just saying,
is how we're doing our years.
If we had had guest hosts and rotating co-hosts fill in for us in some of the weeks we couldn't do it, then maybe we could have gone a whole 50 as well.
Yep. Oh, we would have had like 100 shows. Yep. If we had as many rotating co-hosts as them, yeah.
Oh, yep. Snap, son.
Shots fired.
Yeah, also we didn't have anyone leave our show, so I really don't know what they're saying.
That's true. The original cast is still in place. No interfeuding.
One matter, the original and second iterations of our cast and third iterations of our
cast. Exactly. Still intact.
Oh, man. Ooh, speaking of shots fired, there was a stabbing in my old neighborhood that we just moved out of last night, and the guy died.
Oh, my God.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh my.
Yeah, I know.
Was it like a neighbor? Like, did you know them? Have they released the name?
No, I didn't know who it was. I know the house. So it was, I think, the third house in. So our front yards of our townhouse face the backyards of the street, like the next street over. And it was the third house over. So we faced the second house over, was directly in front of us, and it was their next door. So I actually don't know who that was. I looked it up because you can look up Wake County property records online. And I looked up the name of the person that was reported as the victim in the paper. And
oh,
I looked up the name of the homeowner, and it wasn't the guy listed as the homeowner. But we found out because last night we were in Charleston this weekend, which I guess by the time you're hearing this, because we're actually again recording from the future.
We're from the past?
Yeah, the past.
From the past? But we're in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused.
You're listening to it in the future from now, so it's the past.
So we're recording it from the past, but we're releasing this in the future.
This is not real time.
So at some point during the month of July, we were in Charleston, and I was brushing my teeth, and I hear him go, "Holy shit!" And I was like, "What?" He goes, "Somebody got murdered by our own townhouse," and I was like, "What?" So yeah, our neighbors went on the old, because we're still in the Facebook group for that neighborhood, and right, people were posting pictures of like the crime scene. There were 7 police cars and 3 EMS vehicles there, and crime scene tape, and the updates were going on until about 10:30, in which case I fell asleep at like 10. So, but yeah, it was crazy.
Was it like a domestic dispute or
no?
Was it like some random,
I guess it was between like 2 men. I don't know who they are. It was between 2 men, and the police had been called there earlier in the day for 2 men who were having an argument. And then I don't know what time in the day. I just know that because one of his neighbors said that the police had been there earlier. And then at 8:55 p.m., the police were called for a stabbing, and you know, I guess all hell broke loose. And they said that somebody got carried away on a stretcher, and then the initial news report said that the victim was hospitalized, and then a later one came out this later today that said he died. So, of course, you know, crazy. I was like, man, Perfect House is the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh my God. That's insane.
That is insane. I have one slightly unrelated follow-up question, though.
Yes, I did not stab him, but yeah, continue.
No, this whole concept of a neighborhood Facebook group, is that like a common thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually in one for my area of Brooklyn.
Yeah, and there's also a site called Nextdoor.com that is for neighbors to connect. I mean, it's not just...
Interesting.
It's not just like gossip stuff. When there was a string of break-ins on the other side of my old neighborhood, when that happened, it wasn't always because they were different. The townhouses and the regular houses, there were three different areas, and the break-ins would happen in a different area, so we would never find out about them. So somebody would post, "Hey, this house was broken into last night. Suspect, blah blah blah," because otherwise the news wouldn't get out to us because it wasn't always reported. Because it wouldn't be like big things stolen. So, and sometimes it was just attempted break-ins. So it was stuff like that. Or people will post, "I've got a couch for sale," or "I'm moving, come take my shit," stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what ours is too. It's like people posting that they're like looking for a roommate. They're like, "Hey, I'm new to the neighborhood. Like, is there a good dry cleaner?" Or someone was posting the other day, like, "Oh, I'm new to the neighborhood. And like, I don't really know anybody. Are there, like, I know there's like mommy groups, but are there like single lady groups?"
Well, there also
this whole thread about like, we can set it. Do you knit? Like, there's this knitting group that meets here. Like, I would be in for something like that. Like,
yeah. The Facebook group is generally tame, but you always have the people in our old neighborhoods Facebook group that were kind of like, there's people parking where they shouldn't be. But the next door site for my old neighborhood taught me just how racist my neighbors actually were. Like, there would be something like, "There's a black guy in a suit going door to door. Why is that happening?" And then somebody would be like, "Because they work for Time Warner and they're trying to recruit you," as people do. Like, it was just that would happen. There was a period of time where that would happen all the time. And Jay and I, we knew the neighbor that was posting a lot of them. She was like three or four doors down for us. And we would just like laugh about it after a while. Cause we used to get so angry. Like, one of them reported it on like a minority old woman. Like, I don't even remember what ethnicity she was, but it was like, "There's an old lady going door to door." And it was just like, what is this woman who you're describing is 75 years old? Like, what do you think she's really doing? One was like, "There's an African-American young man sitting in a car in the parking spot across from my house." Somebody then really quickly responded like, "Yes, he's waiting for my roommate because he's supposed to pick him up to take him to like the movies or something." It was the stupidest thing. So that's what Nextdoor taught us, was just how ridiculous our old neighborhood was at times.
Yeah.
So just like when Chris Kolk stayed and he showed me just how many of my old neighbors were on Grindr, I also learned from Nextdoor just how many of my neighbors were just blatantly racist. But now I'm in a neighborhood where everybody leaves each other alone and they're friendly.
Nice.
Yeah. Except for when childhood swings are involved, apparently, huh?
Yeah. Well, they're gone for the summer, so...
They're gone for the whole summer? Where did they go?
The swinging neighbors packed up the day after Zach's birthday party and went to New Hampshire, maybe? They went up north for the summer because she hates the southern heat. I was like,
what? I'd like to be able to do that, to just like pick up and take the whole summer off. Are they like both teachers? Like,
well, he works from home, and then she's a stay-at-home mom, even though her kids both go to school.
Not the dream.
Yeah.
At least not for me, sorry.
Well, being like a stay at home and do whatever I want is like a dream.
Right. So, that's more like a kept woman, not so much.
But so she and her husband are home all day, every day together. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. That is a lot.
They're the only people that ever post on our neighborhood's Facebook page.
Home all the time.
And sometimes they answer each other. It's real cute.
But that's the weirdest thing when like couples like are having Facebook conversations on Facebook. It's like, don't you live in a house together?
Yes, but it's about the neighborhood,
and you theater. Like you're performing for everyone else.
You can tell that they're trying to like, you know, bump each other's posts up, and I'm like, you're the only friggin' people posted in here. They're very nice people, though.
I'm sure they are.
Anyway, I was like, some dude got stabbed, killed in my old neighborhood. My excitement's over. Did go to Charleston this weekend, though. Had a lot of ice cream.
Never a dull moment down south, huh?
What's up with you guys?
I just looked on Facebook to see if I had a neighborhood group, and there I couldn't find one. So I was like, oh, maybe this exists here, and I'm just not part of it. But I don't know if I'd want to be part of it. But it doesn't exist, so it's all good.
But I do be a silent member of it. Like, yeah, you know, like you just go in, the admin knows you're there and then forgets about you.
I never respond to anything. It's just nice to sort of see what people are posting about, or like people are giving away furniture, or like if there's a vigil or a protest of some kind happening in the neighborhood. It's nice to know about it.
Yeah. No, that's cool. But there's not one, at least that I could find. So we're good. But I know like a lot of my neighbors, and yeah, I mean, like we look out for each other, similar thing, but never. Yeah. I have their phone numbers. I'm friends with one of them on Facebook, and that's like too much. She asked if like she could friend me, and I was like, nah, sure. Man, what am I supposed to say? No. Ugh.
Right.
But I'm already regretting it. Anyway.
We can like block what she can.
Like, I think I will. I actually already have, come to think of it.
Yeah, since she just thinks that like you're one of those people that like doesn't really post anything ever.
Exactly.
So it's like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like still not friendly with any of our neighbors. Like we're friendly in the elevator and I like talk to people, but like it's never gone past to like, I don't know anyone's name in the building. And it seemed like it was such a friendly building when we first moved in. So I'm a little like, oh, so we don't all hang out? Okay.
I mean, but would you really want to?
I don't know. I think it might be kind of cool.
Sometimes knowing your neighbors is fun, as long as they don't expect it to be like a long-term friendship on their terms and not your terms.
Yeah.
That's the danger.
My last apartment, I was super like good friends with the guys that lived upstairs.
It's,
and, like,
they would
take care of Captain when we'd go out of town.
Yeah, well, that's
really nice.
It's
really nice to like have someone else in the building that like, you know, you could kind of rely on, be like, hey, like, what are you doing during the snowstorm? Want to come down and watch a movie?
Yeah, it's good. I think it is good to have to be friends on good terms with some of your neighbors, because they can watch your house. Ooh, I keep hitting the thing. Yeah. I'm so sorry. They can watch your house when you go away. Like, for instance, luckily, we live off the beaten path, kind of, because when we got home from Charleston tonight, Jay realized that he left the garage door open.
Oh, Jesus. Nice.
So who knows what kind of animals are living in there right now, but there's no people.
Yeah, nice. You have to look out for that snake.
Oof. Oh, I know. Bruce, I haven't seen him in a while.
Bruce? Is that his name?
Yeah, like Bruce Wayne.
Oh, that's good.
And now he went off moody and sulky somewhere, so he's really like Batman.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him in a while.
Send up like a snake light.
Yeah.
Bruce, we need you.
That'll just look like a penis.
That's true.
So this is the last show we're recording this month. What is everybody... Got planned for the rest of the month / are doing as people are listening to this from the past or something in the future?
Well, I have my birthday coming up in a couple of days.
Yes.
So that'll be fun. We don't have any set plans yet.
Isn't it your joint birthday?
It is our joint birthday. Yeah. We each share a birthday. So we're both going to be working at the same office. So I think we'll probably do some sort of like birthday lunch, fun stuff, and then we're doing like a picnic in Prospect Park on Saturday for people to come and hang out, because why have a summer birthday if you can't take advantage of it and have people come over and hang out? But yeah, I think that's kind of it for me. I'm doing a weekend away in Mystic. I've been planning a getaway for some college friends, like a yearly reunion trip, and it's my year to plan it. So we're going to Mystic, so I'm looking forward to that. We're going to the aquarium. There's like a badass aquarium in Mystic.
I have been there.
Yeah, I think that's kind of it. You know, a couple of Celebrate Brooklyn concerts. Nothing too crazy. It's going to be a pretty tame July, I think.
Nice.
Shandy Pants?
I have family coming in a couple of days. And then we're going to go take them to San Francisco, Yosemite, Sequoia, and Los Angeles. So I'm very excited for that. It's all places I've been before, but you know, they're really good places to go back to. And it's funny because we live really close to San Francisco, but whenever we go, it's like maybe for like one night or just for the day. So we're actually going to spend a little bit more time there. So that'll be good.
Oh, that will be fun.
Yeah. So I'm very excited. And it's always exciting also to show all those places to somebody who's never been before. And, you know, it's going to be...
So how well or proficient are they in English?
I don't know, actually. I've never spoken to them in English. I had a dream last night that we were like ordering, and I was like ordering for one of them, but then she kind of like started ordering it and her English was really good. So I don't know if that means anything, but I will tell you. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've both studied English, but I don't know. You never know what that means, you know?
Yeah.
Like people can take a foreign language for years and not really speak any of it, or they could speak really well. So
yeah, people could also be elected president of the United States and be rumored to be illiterate. So honestly, you just never know what it means. Anyways, yeah. I'm going to Comic-Con.
When is Comic-Con this year?
It's July 19th through the 23rd. So episode will probably be released while I'm at Comic-Con.
That's coming up. That's like 2 weeks from now.
That's like a week and a half from now. I'm so tired.
Okay, that's true.
I love all my trips that I do, but I'm ready to be home. Fair. But on...
It rains, it pours.
This is the 10th anniversary of Jay and Maya's first date. So we are going to go back to this restaurant that we go to every couple of years when we're there in La Jolla and celebrate there.
Oh,
that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
This was the restaurant that got me started on Dirty Martinis.
Hmm.
But now I really can't drink them anymore. I'm kind of off the Dirty Martini train. So
why? What?
This show cured me of it.
Yeah. I was thinking, though, I was going back through my Instagram photos because I don't know, I get bored on the subway and I do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm, I do too.
And I came across the like Fritos and Martini episode and I was going to say, that was so much fun. We should make that a yearly thing that we do that.
All right. I could do it. I could suck it up for every once a year.
But if you don't enjoy martinis, maybe it's just like a fancy cocktail and Fritos.
Maybe I was just going through a phase. Maybe I was just going through a phase.
A face?
A phase.
A face and a phase. A phase to the face.
When did we do that episode? Was that in, like August, September?
We were in this apartment.
Yeah, but you were in this apartment in July, so it was kind of early on.
So I think it was August.
Oh my God, me and the memory. I'm ashamed. please don't think badly of me, guys. I'm pretty sure that it was September.
Hold on.
And if not September, it was early October. I got it. I've got it pulled up. Hold on.
You got it pulled up?
I got it pulled up. That's what she said. It was Martinis and Fritos. Crunch is the New Like was September 23rd. So it was October 17th was the day it was released.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Every October.
I think I had champagne. I'll have champagne again.
Perfect.
Word. We should do a champagne brunch every year, too.
We really should.
Okay. I'm down.
That was great.
Or like all the champagne. Oh, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have any problem figuring that stuff out.
Exactly. Made me think. So I attempted my first batch of boozy popsicles on Friday. They came out delicious.
What'd you put in them?
It's rye whiskey, frozen peaches, mangoes, a little bit of honey, and two strawberries just to balance out the fruit. And you blend that up and then you put it in the popsicle molds, because I bought popsicle molds at IKEA last year when we moved in, because you should have that. Like, that's a thing you should own. And yeah, they're pretty, I'm pretty excited.
I have made the wine popsicle things before.
Frosé?
No, red wine. It was a Moscato. It was like a sweet red wine.
I'm trying to think what you would call that. Frozado.
It was like, I called it a wine slushy because it, you know, had melted by the time I was like halfway done with it. Yeah.
Wine slushy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh man. Yeah. But that was an accident.
The side of glass.
And I also swabbed the glass and then recorded Metrobuzz. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. I thought glass I was going to die.
Yeah.
Little did I know you couldn't die from just a sliver of glass. Shandy is laughing at me right now. You can't.
No, it's painful. It pains me every time. Every time I hear the story, I'm like, blah.
Good times. Good times. But yeah, Comic-Con should be fun this year. We don't have a babysitter for the first time in a few years, so it's going to be hallway floor parties and Zaggy in bars. Not really. I'm not going to subject him to that. I'm tired. Like, I actually kind of look forward to having... Because we didn't really go out at all last year at Comic-Con. Maybe a couple of nights, but for the most part, we were in bed by midnight. And I have to say, even though I'm a type A and I need to be around people and I love, like, the going out atmosphere, I kind of really did enjoy waking up and not feeling like death.
Seriously, it's the best thing ever. It's the best thing about being in your 30s, I think, is that you realize, like, it's not worth it.
Yep.
So. It's not worth it to feel like shit the next day.
But we always have, like, such... We're at the Bayfront this year, and they have an awesome bar, like, downstairs. So I think what we'd like we did last year was we would go down to the bar and then bring things up and party in the hallway. So hallway parties are key. And
well, and that's great, too, because if it's in your hotel, then you can just go to bed whenever you want.
Yes.
And there's not, like, the logistics of, like, having to get a taxi home and, like, coordinating with the person that you're with.
Yeah,
so
and everybody...
two taxis, and you don't want to leave at the same time, and blah.
Well, last year was the year that we met... was his name Mark? He was the guy that did the IT for all of Comic-Con, and he was in the room right across from us. So we were actually able to, like, we kept his door propped open, and our door with the little, you know, thingy in it, you know, the,
oh, right.
Yeah, like on the top. So yeah. We were able to keep an eye on Zach in case he, like, woke up, but we were also able to be completely in a room and nice. Be as loud as we want, and we made a new friend, so...
All great things.
Mm-hmm. Who was awesome. It was really, really fun. So he invited us in because, hey, we were in the floor and we were getting yelled at by security to keep it down. And he was like, you guys can come in my room. He had just had people over and his friends had left. And he, I guess his partner was supposed to meet up with him and could not get down to San Diego. So he sent him this, like, huge, like, Thai spread and, like, all his fucking food, and he was like, I'm never gonna eat it. He had like 3 bars worth of, like, liquor in there. It was insane. Like, it was,
I want the Thai food.
It was awesome. So we were all like, sure, we'll come in. Like, we were like, yes. Yes, we will come in your hotel room.
Twist my arm.
Yeah, don't have to ask twice.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. Every year, the year before that, we met these dudes. We were in the hallway and these dudes popped out and were asking us, like, you know, questions, and they were like, how'd you meet? And we're like, oh, through the Lost Podcast with Dan Jack. And then he was like, no way, I listened to them back in the day. So then we partied with on the floor with some random dudes that were old Lost Podcast listeners. It was really
so cool.
Yeah, like, there's a new adventure every year, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen this year.
So do you find it harder now that, like, Zach walks around on his own 2 feet? Like, was it easier when he was like, you could wear him?
It was easier, but we brought the stroller last year and it was fine. I mean, right. We were unassuming with it. Because if you're not, it's the small one. And if you're not an asshole about it, people generally, you know, if you're not like one of those people that are plowing through, like, I have a baby in this stroller. How dare you get 5 feet away in front, like, within me?
Right.
Like, if you're just, like, a decent human being and you wait your turn politely and you're not trying to, like, run people's heels over with your stroller to push them ahead, people generally tend to, you know, give you some slack. So it was easier when I could carry him, but it wasn't that bad last year with the stroller. And Zach is super into, he gets nervous with the crowds, like, even in Charleston all weekend.
Right.
It took a lot before he wanted to be carried to see everything, and it wasn't until he was, like, more comfortable somewhere that he wanted to walk. So I suspect this year, even if we didn't have a stroller, he would be, like, carry me. So
right.
We'll see. Ask me again after this is over, and I'll tell you, because I feel like last year was a hybrid of, because he was still little enough.
Right.
Now he's 33 pounds, and he's 37 and one half inches. We just went to the doctor the other day.
Pretty heavy to be carrying long distances. Like,
it was like 117 fucking degrees in Charleston this weekend, and homeboy wanted to be carried by everyone. I think that's why I'm so tired right now. I'm drinking hot chocolate and I'm freezing, even though I was in the hot sun all weekend, because I feel like my body is just like expelling energy, and I'm like cold right now.
You got like a really good like upper arm, like full body, body tuning workout.
Jay had him on his shoulders for a while, but anyway, it was still a lot of fun. We did all the touristy things. So yeah, ask me again. I mean, he's a kid that isn't scared in crowds. He might stick by us a lot closer to us at first, but.
That's better. That's what you want. You don't want the kid that will just be like, oh boy, what's that? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, get lost at Comic-Con.
Exactly.
we'll be those parents too at some point, I'm sure.
Get him one of those cool like leashes that it's like a monkey backpack and like the tail is like the leash and like you hold it. And, like,
no.
Those things are adorable.
I know, but I don't want that. But we'll see. Again, ask me again on how it was
in the future.
In the future, from the past.
Yeah.
Anyway. I did not like sleep at all last night. I was like driving the struggle bus all day today.
Oh no!
You know, you just have those nights that you just can't.
Can't
get to sleep. Can't stay asleep. Like you're just lying there, like please, sleep gods, just like let this be.
That's no fun. What, like, did you do anything out of the ordinary?
No, I mean, we, like, hung around the house and, like, drank. So I feel like anytime you're sort of drinking, I feel like it kind of messes with your
yeah, definitely. Like,
rhythms and things. Yeah. So I think that might have been it. But I don't know. Me and sleep have a very tortured relationship. We always have.
Aw.
Yeah. I envy people that can, like, climb into bed. It's like, oh, 10 o'clock, bedtime. And then just sleep all night. Like, that never has been me. And probably never will be.
I sleep pretty good, but it is like now that I can feel it, like, and it's not that we're old, but like there's definitely a difference from even just a couple of years ago. Like I used to be able to sleep all day, every day, anytime, and now it's totally like, well, if I take a nap in the afternoon, then I'm not gonna be able to sleep at night.
I'm hit or miss. I used to not be able to. But I feel like the older I get, the better I can do it. I don't know.
Well, you also probably just have more things that are, like, making you tired.
Exactly.
You know, very I could true. Probably name a few for you.
I know, but look, guys, I'm not wearing any makeup, and I look a lot better. It's the tan. I feel like I'm coming to life in the summer.
Your skin looks very good. Your skin looks very, like, dewy and very even and very clear.
It's the tan. I still got lobster eye going on, but the tan kind of covers it up. Anyway, okay, so in the future, aka, oh look, my watch has turned on as though I am doing an outdoor walk, so that's exciting. I'll take the extra made up burnt calories for the day. It's all about just completing all the circles. Okay, so in the future, aka the past, on July 17th, Game of Thrones season 6 started.
Oh,
I'm so excited. I thought it was supposed to be the 7th though. Did they push that back a week and we just didn't notice? Or was I just wrong?
Game.
Whatevs. It's not tonight, so we're good. But I'm excited for it.
Nice. Maybe someday I'll try Game of Thrones.
All right, so also from the future, past, whatever it is, on July 16th, Game of Thrones season 7 comes back. 6, 7, whatever it is. But it's
seven.
Back.
7 of 7.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Yay.
Spoiler alert article minorly spoils Sansa's storyline from season 4. So heads up, it's not too bad, but here's your warning. So last season, I think, well, we've only had one season. So I think last season we talked about the rape scene that Sansa went through.
Yes.
Okay, so Sophie Turner gave an interview as part of the press for season 7 coming back. And this is the headline is, "We shouldn't treat fictional rape as a taboo and precious subject." Sophie Turner is, let me start that again. Game of Thrones star Sophie Turner has hit back at viewers who complained over the controversial rape scenes. The actress who plays Sansa Stark in the HBO fantasy epic series isn't a fan of people who complained about the depiction of her character's horrific rape ordeal in the show. Quote, "Sexual assault wasn't something that had affected me or anybody I knew, so I was pretty blasé about the whole thing," she told Time magazine. "Naively so. And then I shot the scene, and in the aftermath, there was this huge uproar that we would depict something like that on television. My first response was, maybe we shouldn't have put that on the screen after all." The benefits to shooting the scene and portraying it in a realistic and horrific way have been to increase the conversation about it, she added. The more we talk about sexual assault, the better, and screw the people who are saying that we shouldn't be putting this on TV, and screw the people who are saying they're going to boycott the show because of it, she said. This sort of thing used to happen, and it continues to happen now, and if we treat it as such a taboo and precious subject, then how are people going to have the strength to come out and feel comfortable saying that this has happened to them? Sophie also revealed that the other explicit scenes led her to getting her own version of sex education on set. The first time I ever found out about oral sex was from reading the script. I was like, wow, people do that? That's fascinating. I guess that was my own sex education being on Game of Thrones.
Sex education fail.
Yeah, seriously.
Really highlights some of our problems.
Like, no. Well, she was 13 when she first started on it, or 12 or something, but still.
Yeah.
So thoughts on that? And I only bring it up because I know we had talked about that scene back in the day.
Did we? Because I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I mean, I know we talked about, I mean, either way, I guess it's neither here nor there.
I think the main thing that's missing from her analysis of it is it's not so much that people, I think she missed the mark a little bit. And maybe there were people, there probably were people who were just like upset that anything like that would be depicted at all, which is, I mean, yeah, I'll call bullshit on that too, especially in a series like Game of Thrones that's like so hyper-violent, etc. But I think the main thing that people were complaining about was how it was used as a plot point to advance a male's storyline, and how it what didn't respect the female character. And you see that even in the way that the scene is shot. Like, we see, it pans out at the end to a guy whose penis was cut off. I can't remember names very well. It pans out to his face, and we're watching his reaction watching it. So, and I think there was a lot that was said at the time, because it came out at about the same time as the Orange is the New Black, that had a really powerful rape scene also. Mm-hmm. With,
right.
Yeah. Spoiler
like,
alert.
Woman.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And, well, and that was kind of.
It was about how Theon felt about it, right? Theon Greyjoy?
Exactly. And that's the main thing that people were critiquing, whereas the way that Orange is the New Black treated it was as like a real life event and what it means for the woman who was the victim of that, and like really, you know, dove into her psyche and it was part of her story. Whereas in Game of Thrones, they just kind of missed the mark just because of where they were focusing. So right. I do think that we should depict stuff like that because it is unfortunately part of everyday life and it can help a conversation, but that's where I think the big difference is.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a really important thing to point out. It's not a matter of not showing it. It's showing it in a way that's actually going to be constructive to the conversation. Well, if it's just a violent rape just to move, just to be a storyline, then it's like,
especially
that's
not, for a dude, like,
yeah, like to further a male storyline, then you're not helping the conversation. Like, you're not, it still is taboo because you're making it.
Well, in a way it did end up helping her storyline as well, because it kind of gave her, not then, but it took a while for her to be a more strong, like kind of come in her own. Cause Sansa was kind of like a prissy little bitch in the beginning.
See, I only watched the first two seasons, so I actually have never seen the scene in question, but going off of Shandy's depiction of it, and I completely agree with everything.
Oh, no, I totally agree with that, too, because it was, you know, but at least I feel like Sansa's character has been.
Right. See, I can't
her, her character.
The wall, there's winter.
Yeah, it's coming. It's actually kind
there's of White Walkers. Is it that? I don't know how they all connect to one another. I just know they exist. People that can talk to wolves. I don't know.
Sansa's character, like, she really did come into her own, and she's a total badass. And it is in part because of all of these horrible, like, you know, accumulation of horrible experiences that she's had and how she's been able to react to them. But that still doesn't make the way that they depicted that, you know, they still didn't get that right. Mm. So I think it's definitely worth criticizing.
And, you know, absolutely. Also from her perspective, she's probably heard a lot of shit from a lot of people that are sane and insane. And she was, 19 when that aired or whatever. So I can see where she's coming from if she's got it from a different somewhat perspective for us where she's like, you know, you got to talk about it. But I could see
myself at 19 kind of making that same argument and not thinking about it in the same way.
Right.
Maybe just because of age, but
age, maturity, life experience. Yeah, for sure.
Right. So it's good that she's talking about it at least. Cause I know like when there was the Cersei rape scene, they weren't allowed to talk about that.
Why? Why were they not allowed to talk about it?
I don't know. But do you remember just that, like, Colleen?
I don't, when actually.
Cersei was raped by Jaime in the...
Like, but I don't...
Brother,
like,
slash lover, right?
In the press, she wasn't allowed to talk about it?
That's what I remember hearing. Like, they weren't... They were, like, all of the actors were, like, not allowed to comment on it.
Interesting. I do not remember that. Because
it was a huge... I remember that. I'm not going to, like, bet money on it or bet, like, my life on it or anything. But I remember hearing that. So listeners can, like, fact check and see if that was for real. But I just remember that being a thing that, like, everyone was, like, wanting to know what the women's reaction was to that. Because that was the whole drama with that was that it was clearly a rape scene. But, like, the actors were,
It says the actors were defending it, that it was not rape. I'm trying to find out where they were put on. That might have been why they were told to shut up.
Because I remember the directors at least saying, like, oh, well, it started out that way, but then, like, she said yes later. It's like, dude, that's a fundamental misunderstanding of what, I mean, like, that's rape culture right there. If you can say, like, oh, it started out as a rape, but then it turned into a non-rape, like, yeah.
Exactly. No. Like, that's,
no, it didn't.
That's not, like, helping anything.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see. I wonder if they were given the wrong message like that in like press interviews. So like HBO was like, ixnay on the interview,
Yeah, like, not for nothing. Like any of those panel discussions, like HBO, like all these actors have their own publicists. I'm sure the show has like a whole communications department that's like telling them what to say. So it's like, I'm sure if they were out there saying the wrong thing, like someone got sent to the principal's office for not doing their job.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Anyway, all right, I just wanted to bring that up because I thought that perhaps that would be an interesting thing to talk about. And I wasn't disappointed. Thanks, guys.
Anytime.
All right, so we only have one thing of feedback today, and that is from Matt, and it is, there's now a name for the microgeneration born between 1977 and 1983. I would argue 84, but okay.
Why do you put these arbitrary like year markers?
Seriously, if you remember life before the internet existed, then you should be a part of this. All right. I know this sounds like a special snowflake thing to say, but as someone who was born in 1979, the truth is I've never identified with either Gen Xers or millennials. I didn't grow up with technology, but I'm comfortable with it. I ran loose as a child without any real fear of predator sex parties, prescription drugs, or being bullied into taking my own life before I hit puberty. My parents used me as free labor and didn't feel bad about it. We were spanked and didn't all need therapists. We only got trophies if we won, and my parents at least never gave me the impression that the world revolved around me. It was a particularly unique experience. You have a childhood, youth, and adolescence free of having to worry about social media posts and mobile phones. It was a time when we had to organize to catch up with our friends on the weekends using the landline and actually pick a time and a place and turn up there. Quote, Dan Woodman, associate professor. University of Melbourne. Oh, I should have read that in an accent. Damn it. Oh, well, I'm not going back. We played Carmen Sandiego and the Oregon Trail on our Apple IIe's.
Oregon.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. It's Oregon. But I feel like we've come full circle.
We played Carmen Sandiego and Oregon Trail on our Apple IIe's. We watched Friends and ER and Buffy, then Angel, then Dawson's Creek and Felicity on the WB. Oh, you watched One Tree Hill? You're a millennial. Oh, do you remember when the CW was the WB?
Yep.
I do. Sometimes I still call it the WB. And we watched them live because the first DVR, TiVo, didn't emerge until I graduated from college, and taping things was a huge hassle, and your little brother would just tape over it on accident anyway. Have you ever heard the story? Jack tells it. He had videotaped his, I think it was his sister's wedding, and they accidentally recorded like Days of Our Lives over it.
I hope that wasn't the only copy of the wedding.
I'm pretty sure it's one of those stories that gets told at a lot of family gatherings.
That is awesome. What? And of all things, Days of Our Lives.
Yeah. With a particularly racy scene.
I know. It would have been funnier if they had taped like Luke and Laura's wedding on General Hospital over that wedding, because at least that's like iconic. I don't know.
Right. One wedding for another.
Yeah.
Pretend with you guys. Like, whatever. Just pretend with you.
I had so many VHS tapes, though, because I would tape General Hospital and Port Charles and One Life to Live.
Yep.
And then I would tape at night. And I wouldn't always get to watch them, but it always made me feel better to tape them. You know, kind of how, like, I bring 8,000 things to work with me every day because I don't always need them. But the one time I might need, like, the special blue pen that's in my second purse would be, like, the one day that I didn't bring my second purse. And
yeah. And
then I would sulk about how I didn't have the special blue pen, which I did have a special blue pen, and I've lost it now, which is somewhat sad to me. It was cool. Anyway, we had papers in high school. I'm weird. Not cell phones. We had cell phones in college, but they stayed in our glove boxes because they couldn't do anything but call. And it cost so much, we actually reserved them for emergencies. We used dial-up. Oh, I hated dial-up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instant messengers felt like the future had arrived, and we spent hours waiting to hear the noises of a door opening and closing, hoping that our crush would sign online.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Totally.
A way of life at Marist.
Actually, yeah, I know. Seriously, I wonder if I could get like the door opening and closing to be like a ringtone for certain people.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
I'm sure you could. I am sounds for text ringtones and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that would be awesome. I'm gonna look into that. I'm gonna make a note when I go back to edit this to do that. We hit this. Oh man, it's the University of Melbourne guy again. How do you do a Melbourne accent?
I don't know.
Hey, mate, we hit this technology revolution.
You definitely have to add the mate, yeah.
We hit this technology revolution, mate, before we were maybe in that frazzled period of our lights, mate, with kids. And no time to learn anything. We hit it. We hit it. We hit it where we could still adopt in a selective way the new technologies, mate. Dan Woodman, Associate Professor, University of Melbourne. If you're getting all nostalgic reading this, chances are that you were born between 77 and 83. It's only 7 years, not enough to count as a generation, but our experience is unique to us. We were the last kids to make it all the way to grown-up without pervasive technology. We were the first 20-somethings to learn how to use iPods and internet on our phones, how to text and online date. We straddle a gap, exist between two worlds, and have in some ways lived two separate lives instead of one. Come on. Okay, the 83ers, they're just a year older than us. No offense, but I don't feel like my life pre-internet was a separate life.
Right.
Mainly because now at 33, I've lived more than half of my life, which means by definition, pretty much so has the 83ers.
Right.
I'm calm now. and that, I think, earns us our own title at the very least. So according to Dan Woodman, Associate Professor of Sociology at the University of Melbourne, exennials, mate.
Would that be zennials?
Zennials? Zennials, mate. I think we found the title of our show.
I'm sure we have Australian listeners. I'm sure they're really loving this.
We do have at least one. I'm real sorry.
Well, we did.
Maybe if you're an Australian listener or have an Australian accent or can do one really well, send us an email. I'm going to send you these three quotes and then I'm going to be able to hear them and copy you and learn them and properly say them. Or maybe I'll just play you saying them so everybody can know what they were supposed to sound like. I'm trying to imitate. I can't do an accent. All right, Mysterious Universe. They are Australian. I listen to Australians talk twice a week. I don't know. Is mate even an Australian thing? Yes, it is, right? Shrimp on the Barbie? Okay.
Oh, no.
There's this idea that the idea is there's this micro or in-between generation between the Gen X groups, the groups of mates, who think that we have breast flannelette shirt wearing, grunge listening children that came after the baby maters and the millennials.
Baby maters just sounds
baby
really
maters. That just sounds really.
Really, no good. No.
Who get described as optimistic bloats. Tech
savvy. Bloats? That's British.
Well, but it was a commonwealth at some point, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
That's true. It was
an
antipode.
Excuse me. Tech savvy and maybe a little bit too sure of themselves and confident. So what are the traits of a Xennial in a nutshell? I know this is all people were waiting for an hour ago when this started. A micro generation born during the cusp of the Gen Xers and millennials, between 77 and 83, aka when the original Star Wars trilogy was released. Okay, if they're defining that year of this by the Star Wars trilogy, I feel like you could get a better name. Just right. saying.
Well, and not for nothing, wasn't this used to be like Gen Y?
Yeah, it did used to be Gen Y. That's what Nick and I always make that case.
Oh, there's Gen Y. Like, they're such complainers. Ugh. I feel like it's just whatever group is in that, like...
Yes, it says every generation about exactly. every generation after them.
If you're a young adult, you're like, oh, that group, they're such complainers.
Everything is handed to them.
Mm-hmm.
They have no work ethic.
Yeah, they have, exactly. Sorry, you were saying, Colin.
That's all good. It's all good.
In a maybe Australian accent.
There was nothing Australian about that. Xennials experience an analog childhood and a digital adulthood. Yes, because I didn't have a digital clock in my house at all. Sorry, I know. Right. That was weak. I was reaching. Possess both Gen Y cynicism and millennial optimism and drive. Except I feel like a lot of millennials need therapy, so I don't know how much optimism and drive we have.
Right.
I'd say we have a lot of drive.
That's because our mommies and daddies told us that we could do anything we wanted to.
Yep. Just pursue your dreams.
Not because people really do. Like, despite hard economic times, like, we're, like, inventing shit and...
I feel like, honestly, every generation does have a drive in their own way. It's just what's going on in your world as you're growing up. You know, it's different.
You know, and I think that sort of, the recession does kind of color that sort of older to mid-millennial anyway, because you were just entered or were entering the workforce.
Let's take this quiz and then we will move on. How Xennial are you? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to agree on these because it's just true or false.
Okay.
You used a dial-up modem to do school or university research despite having been told repeatedly that you couldn't trust anything on the internet and the dial-up tone still haunts your nightmares. That's true for me.
True.
I used dial-up in high school, but it wasn't to do research. It was just to go on those, like, online forums. I didn't use a computer for research until college, and it wasn't a computer that I owned. It was in the computer lab.
But they also remember we were told that we couldn't use websites as citations and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like true enough that I'll
All right, let's do it
with you guys. But just with that little caveat.
You remember Boy George the first time he became famous? I don't.
No,
I do not.
Okay, false.
Like, it's like I sort of do in the rearview mirror, like not, yeah.
But I don't remember why it was happening.
Exactly.
You owe New Kids on the Block merch. True. Yeah. Oh, Tuesday, New Kids on the Block, Paula Abdul, and No Diggity. Who are they?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Black Street.
Not them. Fuck. It's the New Kids on the Block. They're coming to Raleigh. Fuck, who was the other one?
Boys to Men.
Boys to Men, thank you.
Boys to Men was in a commercial the other day, and I was like, holy shit.
I should have been like, one sweet day.
Oh yeah. My God, yeah. Love the shit.
I would have got that right away.
You know, I know the Black Street song was playing in the car on the way home from Charleston today, and I was like rocking out to it. That's where I pulled that from. But how awesome is that? It was on Groupon for like $23 to see all three of them.
That's kind of a bummer. Yeah. I guess ticket sales aren't going very well.
I know. It was lawn seats, though.
They're like giving them away.
I really wanted to go, but Jay is going to be in Charlotte, and I don't think Zach is a little tired as well. I think if I was like, let's go on an adventure, he'd be like, no, mommy, no.
Do so, I want candy.
Yeah. Okay, so New Kids on the Block merch. Yes, no?
I didn't have the merch, but that's more just indicative of my economic situation. Yeah. So I was a fan.
Okay, well, there we go. Yeah, that's same. Because I think we were in, like, second grade when they were big, so...
Even before. Like, I remember them from kindergarten.
Really? Okay, I remember I was in my old condo, and we moved when I was in third grade. And I remember listening to them with the bigger kids in the neighborhood. I must have been in, like, first grade or second grade.
Yeah, it could have been first grade, but definitely kindergarten or first, because I was still living...
I distinctly remember having like a New Kids on the Block like eraser or pencil case or something like that.
Yeah, nice.
You know,
shirt and
posters.
I remember thinking that they were hot before I knew what that meant.
Yes, right. Same. Right. And then years later, I still was like, man, that Donnie Wahlberg.
Honestly, I don't even remember what they look like now.
No, that's the only one that I wanted to go see them for was Donnie Wahlberg.
Interesting choice.
You know I love Blue Bloods.
Yeah, but you didn't then.
I know I'm joking then. Then I didn't really know. I was in first grade. It wasn't like, you know, these Bieber kids nowadays that grew up with the internet.
Like, these Bieber kids.
You know, these Bieber first graders with YouTube accounts.
They were eight.
Yeah. You made a mixtape for somebody you fancied, and it was on a tape. True.
I made a mixtape for friends.
Yeah, same.
I made mixtapes for myself all the time.
Yeah.
For someone you fancied, is this... Are we I think still it's just in, somebody like, that you... Australian English? Or?
It's from The Guardian, so I think it's...
Oh, British.
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
You remember when floppy disks were actually floppy? Yes, and I have some still.
Yes, and when did we start calling, like, the hard disks floppy disks?
I don't know.
I feel like it happened one day in college, and I was like, I didn't get the memo. No one asked me what I thought about this.
I have a bunch of those, too, and I really want to get a floppy disk reader for the floppy ones and the hard ones.
The floppy ones and the hard ones.
If that other episode title doesn't work out, I feel like there's one in there.
The hard ones.
I love the hard disks.
Yep.
I prefer the hard ones to the floppy.
Yep. Bring the hard one to the library with you so you can print out your paper.
Yeah. Yeah, I had special cases
for that.
Carry around
the hard disk in your purse.
I have all my college stuff on hard floppy disks.
Yeah, same. You'd bring it to the computer lab to print because who had a printer? I didn't have a printer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have. I think that I might have gotten a cheap one at the very end, but I cannot remember.
Right, because we went from the hard disk to like the flash drive.
Yeah, my friend had this in college, and it was like...
Yeah.
Holy shit. But everything that I wrote was at the actual computer lab. And just like lived on my student account there. So I didn't really need like that. But it was amazing to me that was like a thing.
I feel like I may have gotten the printer my senior year because I was a journalism major and I was always printing out papers and stuff to do towards the end. But
you might have had a printer freshman year.
Freshman year, me?
You might have. Someone did.
No, I...
Someone did.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just got rid of that within the last couple of years, that printer.
Oh, it's a bummer.
It was time. I don't think they made the ink for it anymore.
R.I.P. printer. R.I.P.
But no, speaking of the flash drives, I remember when our friend Allison had a 1 gig flash drive and it was like $40 and we were all like, holy shit, that's such a gig. That's huge. And now I'm like, now it's, that's like a what? Huge gig.
I where's your floppy disk? Bigger than that. Yep. Or like, I remember when I got my iPod and I was like, oh yeah, I want the 30 gig. Cause that's like so good. It's so much space. Like I'll never fill it. Cut to like 7 years later, it's like crap.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty more music.
Come
off.
My new phone, I didn't have a choice. My old phone was 64 and the corresponding one for the new one was 128. So all of a sudden I find myself with the same phone plan, but all this space now. I'm like, this is great.
Sweet.
Wow, that's cool.
I know. I gotta watch myself though, because those apps and pictures add up real quick.
Yeah, they do.
But yeah, just now you can order, because I was looking to order more Jay and Jack merchandise for the $50 patrons to send out and stuff. And one of the things we do is a flash drive. And now you can get like a 2 gig flash drive for like, you know, $4.99.
Nope.
Then I'm like, oh my god, I remember when these were so much money. Sorry, okay, I got off track as I tend to do. You guys had we had a Sony Walkman. Yep. I absolutely did. Amanda and I used to run with ours.
Yeah, because the Discman skipped too much, so I kept the Walkman.
Yeah, and then I got my little MP3 player that played like 15 songs.
Hey, that's all you need.
And then for Christmas, because my parents, once we got into like college, it became, and you know, you can get a big gift and then a couple of things like clothing. And I picked an iPod, and that was how one of the first podcasts he listened to was the last podcast, and the rest was history. So,
oh my god,
I know.
Went from a Walkman to an iPod.
You,
big jump. Yeah.
No, I had the Discman, but it would skip. So then I went to the little cheap MP3 player.
Right.
Yeah. And I could only, you know, it was like the same 15 songs on repeat because I didn't know how to change them once I put them on. And yeah. Anyway, you're able to get your full name without numbers or full stops onto an email address at the beginning of the internet. Yeah.
Oh, call. I can still do that shit. Yeah. Boom.
Boom. But you're.
True. I didn't have my own email till I went to college and I got my college account.
I mean, I had my AOL one, yeah. But...
Yeah, see, I didn't even have that.
And I used that, and then my junior year roommate, Lizzie, invited me to Gmail when it first came out, and then I got my Gmail, so back 2004 or 5? I don't even remember.
I got a Hotmail account when I was in high school, because, of course, you would get a Hotmail account in high school, but I didn't do... first name, last name. I did, you know, like the stupid, like first name, underscore,
yeah,
number that means something to me, whatever.
There you go.
But yeah, now I have like a correct adult email account.
Well, I used to be Clofus 84 because my aunt called me Clofus growing up.
And because you were born in 1984.
And I was born in 1984. Yep. And then I just switched everything over to Colleen 84 at one point, and I've kind of just stuck with that because it's easier.
Yeah.
But my sister has always used... My sisters have always used the same like series of numbers, and it's their favorite Yankee players.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
Huh. Makes sense.
Yeah, so because that was what they first started with. They don't use the same screen names at all anymore. But now they on their Instagrams or whatever. But yeah, like Christy, everything is 24 because Tina Martinez, and she was like Bisquick 24 or something was her AOL screen name. And Caitlin's has always been, she loves the numbers 10 and 37. So she's Katie Rose 1027 on Instagram now, or 1037. But anyway, your first computer games came on cassette tapes and usually ended in an error message. I think that means the gray ones.
Wait, your first what?
Computer games.
Oh, I've never really done computer games.
Cartridges.
Yeah.
and you like shoved him in the thing.
Mm-hmm. I used to play Chip's Challenge. Really well.
Like, you shoved him in the thing.
Yeah, you put so you. Yeah, with the big gig and the hard drive and the hard disk and the floppy disk, and you stuck him in the thing, and
you stuck it in the thing, and then you would blow on it. And
yes,
although now I think I'm just talking about like Nintendo.
Remember when you had to go out to like MS-DOS to like go into. Like, you'd have to type in, like, the thing, backslash, colon, like, just to
our
get
our first family computer was, like, a DOS computer. Mm-hmm. It was very confusing.
Yes, ours, too. But I used to play Chip's Challenge, and I kind of would love to find that game again and play it.
Or, like, did you have Number Munchers?
Yeah. I do not know what that is.
Number Munchers and Weird funny. Munchers. It was like this little green guy. It kind of was like Pac-Man style, where it was like this big
possibly
cube.
It's
and it looked almost like a tic-tac-toe board, and there was either like math problems or words or something, like some history
maybe
thing.
That
and
does sound familiar
and you'd have to like munch all the like eat
no say munch it's funnier
munch. And then I forget, there was some like villain thing that then would chase you around like Pac-Man. So like you'd have to get them all the correct answers before you got eaten.
I think I know what your
dad was.
I do think I know what you're talking about.
It's just a fun game.
As far as like the actual Windows games that we used to play, I was awesome at Free Cell. And I was so happy when I figured out how to correctly play the game Hearts.
I still don't know how to play that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that game.
I don't even
game.
Know how to play Free Cell.
Yeah. I don't
Free
know
Cell is the best. That. I could get lost in an hours-long Free Cell. I used to be in a competition with my uncle and my grandfather and whoever else in my family to get a streak going on Free Cell to see who could like win the most games in a row. We were awesome. We were like, it would be like popcorn and music, and we would play Free Cell.
Nice.
I'm gonna stop talking now. This was your first computer game, and it's I recognize it, but it's not the one I played. It's a football game with like little dudes on it.
Nope.
No. Okay.
Not ringing any bells.
I recognize it, but I couldn't tell you anything about it. You can remember this amazing phone. It's hold on. Let me see. Can you see on the screen? It's a Nokia phone where you slide it down.
Fancy. Oh. I never had that.
Yeah. No. I remember like the brick one. You could like change out the face, so it'd be different colors.
Yes, ooh. I remember that too. So, yes or no? Do you remember the? Because it was when it would like slide down, and you could type it in, and then slide
back up.
Yeah, no,
I don't remember that.
Okay,
one.
No. I vaguely remember as well, but two against three, two against one. You never thought it was weird that Buffy the Vampire Slayer's Sunnydale had the kind of internet that allowed Willow to constantly hack the mayor, but no mobile phones. True, I guess. I never questioned anything.
I never thought about it till just now.
Yeah, I've never really seen Buffy, but that sounds like something that I wouldn't question.
That's crazy to me. I feel like you would love Buffy.
I would love
like the show
crap
that
out of Buffy.
Super into. I think you need to get on this.
Okay, I will.
I think this is coming full circle too, because we talked about this last year and we were supposed to watch it.
Right. I know.
Right. Maybe during our summer vacation.
Yeah, I have nothing to do in August except wait for my sister to have a baby. So.
While I'm waiting,
yeah, I gotta get my Buffy so-called life.
Slayer.
I'm gonna check off my so-called life, and I'm gonna check off Buffy.
Oh, that's true. My so-called life, you can get through pretty quick because they only made X amount of like
yes,
10,
and
10
I think
19 episodes. I think
Mandy's gonna watch it with me. Okay, you, Shani, this one's for you. You had or still have a Hotmail account?
Yep, still use it.
You can remember your landline number. My parents still have a landline, so yes.
My parents do, too.
You got super excited when a rich neighbor or friend got a car phone. I was super excited when Zach Morris got one, so that counts, right?
That counts, because I don't think I knew anyone with a car phone.
I had maybe two friends that had car phones.
You have a surprisingly high tolerance for reply all chain emails. That's true too.
Yes. Oh my God. You come back from summer camp and it would just be like 2 weeks worth of just like, everybody's so great.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a line about every single person. Like, here's a nice thing about every person.
Sometimes at work, I think when I hit reply all, I don't know if it's just like ingrained in me to include everyone in the conversation when only like one or two people need to know, or if that's like the proper protocol. And I'm like, well, you can always remove yourself.
Exactly.
If this is annoying.
Yeah. Just like, I am not trying to hide the information. Here is the information exactly. for everyone. Use it if you need it.
Oh, yes. Okay, this one I totally is true for me. You can remember when you first heard about a website called Google, and before that had to ask Jeeves. And before that was the World Book Encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't really, I like vaguely remember World Book, but I definitely remember Ask Jeeves.
We had a class in Marist for the communications department about how to use Ask Jeeves.
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't take that class.
And it was on like Netscape browser. Yeah. I remember taking an internet class that was required of me, and I bet you I still have everything. I bet you that I could find it somewhere in my parents' basement.
I would love that.
Okay. I will keep an eye out.
Okay.
Okay. And we're almost done. I promise. You still get upset thinking about the premise of Party of Five? Yes, I do.
I never watched Party of Five.
Parents died.
What's the premise?
I know the premise.
And that upsets me.
What is the premise?
That upsets me too. That it's like five siblings that are all like raising themselves because their parents die suddenly.
Shit. Sounds like some like Boxcar Kids stuff.
Yeah, kind of. Very, very reminiscent.
Except they think they had a house.
But they had a home. Yeah. Like, oh, they weren't living in the railroads.
Yeah, but I love those books too. you can't remember which of the Coreys was your first movie star crush.
No.
Corey and Corey.
Yeah, like Corey Hart and Corey Feldman. Yeah, no.
Rest in peace and hot mess. I'll put no. I'll put false. You were actually scared the first time you saw The Goonies.
No, I don't ever remember a time being scared of it.
I've never seen it, so I can't answer this question.
What?
I've seen it
more than once, but don't remember it very well. I remember certain...
Oh, it holds up. It's a great movie to go back and watch as an adult.
I'll add that to the list.
It is such a time capsule of, like, I watched it recently, and it was just like, kids don't play like that anymore. Like, kids don't have that experience anymore. They probably don't interact with each other that way. It's like, it's a great movie.
True or false? Was it scared?
I was never scared.
False. You remember calling friends on the family landline and having to say hi to their mom or dad first. True.
Yes,
yeah, that's probably where my social anxiety began.
Yeah. Hello, who's calling, please?
Like, okay, mommy, you're going to be okay. Yeah. Someone's mom's going to pick up. You're just going to be like, hello, can I talk to so-and-so?
Yeah. Hi, this is Shandy. Could I please talk to your daughter, so-and-so?
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah. In case, I like how he's like, your daughter, comma, Alice. And it's like, yes, I know my daughter's name. Thank you. Yep. Unless you had two, and then I guess it's better.
Right. Which one?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Shelly. I'm your daughter's friend from school.
All right, last question. You thought call waiting was the technological advance of a generation. Yes.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes. And I thought caller ID was literally the best thing in the world.
Yep. Both things we did not have, and I was very jealous of everyone I knew who did have.
All right, submit answers. Oh, you are a true Xennial, mate. Well done. You understand modern technology, but are not so emotionally needy as to need constant validation from strangers you'll never meet. Okay, well, that's not true. We are doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they don't include any four.
All right, well, I think that does it for this portion of the show. We have one more thing to do before we hit the road, Jack, and that is debut the Fancy Panty list.
Yes.
All right, so here is the lovely song, and then we will read them after this. All right.
Wait, drum roll.
Da-da-da. You got them fancy panties, ooh, they are so hot. So list them out and count them up and tell us what you got. Have you had sex in a state park, in a theme park, in or on the ocean? Or how about a vehicle in motion? Can you join a club that's a mile high? Have you had a rendezvous while being tied? Have you had sex with many? Or how about alone without any? Have you had sex in a movie theater? Or your childhood room, on a bed of flowers, or maybe in the shower. Hey, you got them fancy panties, ooh, so hot. So list it out and count them up and tell us what you got. Have you had a quickie in a skirt? Well, keep it on your socks and shirt. Sex with a sex toy, or with another girl, or with another boy. What about secretly with other people nearby? Or have you done it in a 69? Have you had sex loud and proud, or quiet as a mouse with other people in the house? Have you had sex on the phone, or in someone else's home? Sex in a chair, or maybe with another pair? Hey, you've got them fancy panties, ooh, so hot. So list them out and count them up and show us what you got. Last chance, have you had sex in a foreign land, or maybe in a one-night stand? When there's nothing left to say, or maybe after reading 50 Shades of Grey. All right, so
Yay,
wonderful.
I loved it.
I'm gonna read these right now. All right, here we go. So, in a state park, in a theme park. Oh, actually, before I start, let me thank everybody that contributed to this, because I basically we basically listed everything out on a Google Doc and then like parted it down, and that's how we got what we got. In a state park, in a theme park, in or on the ocean, which also includes beach. I think we decided, right?
Yes. Yes.
Or in a vehicle in motion, Mile High Club, being tied up, or tying somebody else up. We'll accept both. Sex with a group. So sex with many is sex in a group. Sex without any would be sex with yourself. In a movie theater, in your childhood room. On a bed of flowers would be anything like romantic like that. In the shower, a quickie in a skirt. Which is obviously hike up your skirt. yeah, you're welcome.
Just in case you needed me to spell that one out for you.
While keeping on your socks and shirt, because it rhymed. And, you know, if you and pretty much kept your clothes on. That is a thing. That's frequently a thing with me.
Sometimes when it's cold out, like warm feet help.
Yeah, it gets freaking cold. And sometimes it's too hot under a blanket, but you really need to keep something over you.
Research shows that like if women can keep their feet warm, that you have a better chance of orgasming.
Really?
Yeah.
Says the woman who lives in Monterey, California.
Yeah.
With a sex toy, with another girl or another boy, so somebody of the same gender as you, who's secretly with people nearby. So that would be like, you know, somebody in the next room or at the dinner table next to you, as per some of our stories have been on here. Doing it 69 style, really loud sex or really quiet sex, phone sex in somebody else's house. That does not include a hotel room. Or an Airbnb. Like, it's got to be like, hey, I'm a guest in your house and I'm fucking. I was saying.
So, like, not like a rental house?
Right.
I mean.
Somewhere that you're paying to be there.
No, because then you're, like, allowed to do it.
You're not paying. Right. Yeah.
You're not paying. You're a guest.
Yeah, where it's naughty. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Although, if enough people protest, then fine. We'll open it up to perhaps. When you're paying to be in the
house. I mean, because that's like staying in a hotel.
Yeah.
Like, who hasn't had sex in a hotel?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Sex in a chair or with another pair. So that would be a threesome, guys.
But not just any threesome.
No, that would be, I thought we were talking about, like, swingers.
Swinging?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I printed like this before I made those edits.
And someone else's couple. So it's the four of you. That's what I took that as.
I took that as, like, a single person with a couple, which would then exclude, like, if you were in a couple.
Well, we could do it open to your interpretation. Open to...
No, that works. That works.
Yeah, because I kind of thought of how Shandy did, too. So open to your interpretation.
Yeah.
Just kind of like the orifice up to your wrist and, the, you know, those two were, right. You know.
They're designed to be, you know, debatable.
Yeah. In a foreign land... So that's, you know, on vacation, guys. with
or
a one-night stand.
For work.
Or travel, yes. One-night stand. So this other one, we were kind of going back and forth, Amanda and I, because I wanted to have something to do with, like, angry sex. So and then I really wanted After Reading 50 Shades of Grey. So we kind of just went with the rhyme. which is when there's nothing left to say.
Which I like that because I feel like it's open to like a lot of things that like
it's like a freebie for everyone.
Yeah, it's like makeup, like, sex. It's
yeah, that's like the center of your bingo card,
and you just like don't want to talk to this person anymore. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's so many things that can be encapsulated in there.
Exactly. Like I said, it's like the X in the center of the bingo card. It's your free space.
And probably reveal a lot of really interesting stories as to how people interpreted it.
Yes, and we would love to hear it.
Yes.
And then, or after reading 50 Shades of Grey or other such erotica loosely or not loosely.
Nice.
So, all
right. Solid list, guys.
Yeah, good job, ladies.
Yeah, well, and thanks for everyone who contributed stuff. I feel like I put in very little.
Yeah, so. All I did was think of the 50 Shades of Grey one. Yeah. Everything else was for somebody else.
I put in zero and read it and said, sweet. Yeah. But I do really like it. So yeah, no, yay. Thanks for everyone for the feedback.
Yes, awesome. And at some point,
real team effort.
If everybody, yes. If there's enough demand for it, I'll release the audio for this song as its own track, like its own episode. Yes. So you can have it separately, individually, but only if everybody wants it. I'm not gonna do it.
If you want to get your ringtone, if you want.
Yeah. So we'll figure that out. All right. So on that note, fun show, ladies. I hope we're all having fun in the past. And I mean, in the future, we had fun in the past. Thank you to our patrons, especially to Creepy or Funny Mailman Ed, Molly the Millennial, Tech from Tokyo, and Eckhart. Thank you guys so much. And thank you to everybody that supports us as a patron every month, because we really do appreciate it. And, you know, it really does help us out. So thank you so much. If you'd like to be a patron, you can contribute anywhere from a dollar to a lot of dollars, whatever you want to. It's open to interpretation. You can just go in and fill it out. You go to patreon.com/jandjack. And if you're doing it because you're a listener of this show, when we let you into, when you become a patron, tweet us, Facebook us, hashtag something, just I'm with hers, just so everybody knows why you're here. And of course, if you, you don't have to be a patron, but if you are an Amazon shopper and are so inclined and could pretty please consider shopping through our the Jan Jack Amazon Associates affiliate link, and that is janjack.com/amazon. You just have to type in your browser once and, you know, save it as your go-to Amazon link, and all the podcasters on the network get a little bit of that as well. So please consider doing that. The survey may or may not still be up, because I have like no idea what date this is in the future, but if it's haven't yet, the surveymonkey.com/r/the broadcast 2017. It shouldn't take too much of your time again. All right. Have I left anything out? Oh, email us or call us. Of course, we are ready for feedback and we are really excited to get it. So, yeah, you can give us a call. You can give us an email at thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or you can call us 331-276-2373. That is 331-BROADS3.
Yay.
I'm getting kind of quicker at it.
No, it was good. Yeah.
Thanks, mates.
Good day, mate.
Oh, see, why did I have you read it? Good day. Oh, that would have been.
That's about all I can do. Good
day, mate. I couldn't do any of it.
Not an easy one. Hard.
Anyway, yeah, give us your feedback. I hope you enjoy the fancy panties list. I can't say it. All right. Thanks for listening again. I hope everybody's having a lovely summer in the future and the past.
Yep. Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And peace. Bye.
Bye.